to Joey, Chris, and Gabe, Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, which, by the way, rocks. My name is Suzanne Snyder, and you guys need to listen to this podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back, everyone, to Master of the Universe podcast. And this week, we're going to be talking about Daniel Isn't Real, released in 2019. Joey Cage here, along with Christopher J. and the Man Beast Gabe. And we're on episode 55. Chris, how I have to ask you every Thursday, dude, till you switch it up or, you know, play games. How were the Buffalo Chicken Quesadillas, dude?
Great, as always.
All right, all right. And, Gabe, dude, you had a little fun this weekend, man. What's going on?
It was pretty good, pretty good. So, as I had mentioned, and I even put on my Instagram a couple of times, is that Houston Horror Film Fest was happening this last weekend. A lot of horror guests, a lot of celebrities. It was really great, really fun. I was a vendor, not just a another participant, though, but I was a vendor there selling my art goods, and my booth was seated right next to Oliver Robin, the child star from Poltergeist Part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Nicest guy, pretty awesome. I swear, it was pretty neat just chit-chatting with him. Not just only him, but I mean, like, I met a whole bunch of great people there. Shout out to everyone that bought some stuff and took some of my art home. That was really great. Really appreciated. It was really awesome. Just I was talking art, talking horror, talking about these movies, new movies that are going to come out, older movies that, you know, of course, that we have all seen before. You know, Rob Mello giving shout outs too. He was a really great guy. He
seemed really cool, dude. Yeah, he seemed really fucking cool.
Yeah, he is, man. He is like really chill. He's really chill. So if you're not familiar with Rob Mello, for all those listeners though, he was the supposed killer that they always, he's a serial killer in the movie Happy Death Day, and they assumed that he was the one going around killing people. That he was the mass killer. So I got to meet him. He was really cool, really nice guy. And I even asked him, you know, hey, you know, y'all did part one, you did part two. Is there going to be a part three coming out? He said the whole cast is up for it. The whole cast is up for doing a part three. They all want to do it. They're just kind of waiting on the green light just to go ahead and just jump on it, just to get going. So, if you're not familiar, Happy Death Day, it's, if you ever seen the movie Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray, it's,
oh yeah.
Yeah, that it's just it's a murder horror version of that. That's all it is. Girl reliving the same day till she figures out who the killer is.
When I hear you say the name of that movie, I'm like, da na 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 na, today is your death day.
That's exactly what that is. And it's a fun movie.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good laughs in there. Of course, you know, there's those death murder scenes because that's what the whole thing is based off of. So, yeah, I definitely recommend watching that movie. It's fun. It's pretty laughable, you know. Yeah, like I said, there was a whole bunch of cool people. I was trying to get some comments or some kind of shout-out from Miko Hughes, the little boy child star, again, from Full House. Wes Craven's A New Nightmare. He was in Pet Sematary. He was not having it. His voice was very scratchy. He seemed fine, but he said he was losing his voice. He just wanted to save that voice for a couple of guests. I really just didn't want to force him into doing something he didn't want to do.
Yeah,
so,
course, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be that. You don't want to be like Mark, right, Chris? I start winking at Chris.
Wink back.
That's all the energy he's bringing tonight, folks. Is he's in a wink back. Anyway, I mean, when you told me, like, you were like, oh, this, you know, and then you were sending, you know, videos. I was like, man, this guy's having the time of his life. And like you said, you were a vendor there. You weren't just fucking like chilling. You know, you were like, you know, making a little money too, and you know, hanging out and getting to talk with those people. And I'm sure, like, it's cool to meet those people, but I think it kind of like shows you you're more than just a fan, even though you are. When you're like, you have something, you know, like really cool too with your art. You know what I mean? When they see that, they're like, oh shit, this guy, you know, he's not just some dude into horror. Like, he's like, he's talented in his own way. I'm sure that they commented. You know?
Can you imagine Gabe becoming like the Conrad Thompson of horror shit?
Oh, I'm sure he could. Yeah, Conrad Thompson. He's a podcaster. He like does real estate shit, so he makes a lot of money, but he's like, he has all the podcasts with all the famous wrestlers and shit, because he knows what he's doing, you know, business wise, and you know, it's really cool.
And that's what I want to do. I just want to get out there. I'm trying to get on the scene. I want to talk to these people. I already have Oliver Robbins and Rob Mello already following me too. So I was like, that's kind of cool. I thought that was a good ones up. But like, it's not even just the celebrities. It's the people. The people that are there. They're there with their kids. They're dressed up in costumes. I mean, these people are celebrating horror. Like, as if it was like every day was Halloween. And that is awesome. So just chit-chat with them. You know, just trying to, you know, just getting their point of view, like, who they like and why they're there, you know, even if it's just a first-timer, a new experience, or even if they're just, like, they're an old-time veteran, they've been to these horror conventions, like, since the dawn of time. I mean, these people are great. The whole thing was awesome. You know, just getting out there. My next stop is going to be Texas Frightmare Weekend. So that one, I'm not going to be a vendor, but I will be, you know, participating with the people. So I will be running after autographs, and I will be, you know, of course, you know, trying to get those little, if I can, try to get some interviews if they're willing to, you know, if they have the time to talk. There are some people, like Felissa Rose was at the Houston Horror Film Fest, and she was like, her line is like jam-packed. I kid you not. You talk about popularity. I mean, that woman is, she is popular. She's the killer from Sleepaway Camp. She's in some other newer movies, but same thing with Danielle Harris. She had like these two big old bodyguards with her. Mm-hmm. And same thing, you know, she has like a long line, you know, she can only talk so much. She can't really say anything. I didn't even attempt to try to get in her line. She is that popular. So, but yeah, I mean, there are just some people that are just that great. And, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it, if not just for the people. You know, ever since this whole COVID thing started lifting up now, and, you know, we're starting to get back out into the crowd, out into the public again. I mean, I think everyone's just happy just to get out of their house. You know, no more living in fear, you know, that they got their shots, they got their masks, they know how to protect themselves. I mean, I think it's about time everyone's getting back out there, really kind of getting their lives back on track. So, you know, good for them, good for us, good for everyone. You know, we're all doing good. You know, there are some people that are not so fortunate, but we can only hope for the best for everyone right now. So,
yeah, it's nice going to the stores. Yeah, and then I have to worry about, oh shit, I forgot my mask. Because no matter how long it seemed like we were doing it, it was a long time. You know, and now it's you know, even when I walk in, I kind of like look around. I'm like, okay, you know, it's like 50-50 with the mask on and off. But you know,
yeah,
it's nice.
I do want to mention though, I do have just to kind of give some updates on some movies that are going to be coming out for horror. So just to kind of get back in the groove of things, just to kind of let everyone know and make sure that they're all aware. By July 30th, A24 Films, they came out with movies like what is it, like Lady Bird, and they have like I think Hereditary might be an A24 film, I think. But well, anyways, there's a new horror movie coming out at the end of this month. It's a fantasy adventure, A24. It's The Green Knight, so that's pretty cool. Also, too, it's a psychological horror, which comes out in October 22nd. It's called Last Night in Soho. Pretty much, it's about a woman that's passionate about fashion design. She ends up traveling back in time to meet her favorite fashion designer, but apparently the nightmare starts coming in and the horror starts coming in when time starts getting messed up for her and everybody else. Something for the kiddos, you know, October 1st, there's Hotel Transylvania. You know, it's this cartoon anime about, you know, Dracula and all these other fantasy monsters that
your
are
favorite,
all living in.
Your favorite Adam Sandler, dude.
Well, I saw that Selena Gomez is, like, in it, too.
Oh, no shit, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyways, that's something for the kiddos. They have Escape Room Tournament of Champions. Pretty much, if you're familiar with an escape room, it's, you know, it's a bunch of puzzles and you're trying to figure your way out of it. Okay, well, this one's more of a computer gone crazy, and that I believe this is a part two. So the computer that runs these escape rooms ends up going crazy and then starts killing people off. So now it's leave it up to a bunch of people trying to figure. They have no choice but to try to escape. I mean, not just for them, but for
their
lives. That's
kind of like Space Odyssey 2000 with Hell the computer.
I don't really remember that one. I want to say I do, but I kind of feel like I'm going to get it confused with something else.
Okay, Joe, I know you've seen that.
No, but A24, yeah, they're the ones that did release The Witch and Hereditary, dude. So
yes. There you go. I knew it was something around those lines.
Yeah.
There's M. Night Shyamalan is coming out with one July 23rd. It's called Old. It sounded stupid, and just reading about it looked ridiculous, but when I saw the trailer for it, it pulled me in. So now I'm like, I'm kind of hyped up, and I really want to watch this. Pretty much. Family vacation, people, this family goes on vacation on the beach. All of a sudden, they are aging. Why or how, they don't know, but they're trying to figure it out before they start aging and getting older and dying. So that's where all the drama comes in. So it's, I guess it's more of a thriller, I guess. So, M. Night Shyamalan, I know his movies are kind of hit and miss. He has some good ones. You know, but there are some other ones that are, well, not so great. So, I saw the trailer. It looked pretty fantastic. I got pretty hyped up on that one. Also, too, you know, we also got, like, it's not really horror. This is more action. They got that Suicide Squad coming out August 6th. So, it looks pretty bloody. It looks pretty, it has its comedy. So,
you know us. We like to do a little bit of everything. So fuck it.
Yeah. So just throwing that out there, you know, and then, you know, we're all still waiting for that Candyman movie. Well, I'm waiting for that Candyman movie, you know, August 27th. So, and then, of course, you know, Halloween Kills, we're working our way up to that one. So that one's going to be exciting. That one's all October 15th. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm hyped up. I'm hyped up, especially for Halloween, because I really liked the prior film, the 2018 one. So I'm like really excited to see how this one continues. The new Candyman, is that going to be like a? It's going to be a remake, right? Like they're going to do like a revisioning or whatever the fuck.
It doesn't really explain that the reason why I say that because if you're watching the trailer, it's not like the old original Candyman where it's a girl trying to investigate the projects of this history of this Candyman, you know, because the projects where it's all, you know, ghetto run down and everything, they live in fear that you can't say that name. So here she is trying to do her thesis for her college. She's trying to do her thesis on you know, about the Candyman. And then that's where the story kind of takes off from there, where she starts finding out that he's real. As far as this new movie, it seems like it's its own side story, because it's following an artist. it's following an artist, and then he's starting to follow the trend of this whole Candyman thing. So he ends up hearing it, hearing stories, and he's starting to follow it, and he's starting to feel like he's falling under this whole schizophrenia type of thing. And that's pretty much it. It's funny that I mentioned schizophrenia, because that's more or less like what the movie that we're going to talk about. That's, you know, it involves a little bit of that kind of psychological kind of mind messiness there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's it's going to be a pretty good year. You know, last year we didn't get a lot of movies. But when we come back, we'll go ahead and get into Daniel Isn't Real. So Daniel Isn't Real, man. How did you hear about this film, man? This is, of course, my first time seeing it. Just came out a little over a year ago. But I mean, what got you to recommend this film, and, you know, kind of get into this film for us, dude?
Oh man, so this movie was on a whim. I kid you not when I say that. Like, I'm a big fan of art and a big fan of comics, and I follow a lot of these comic book artists and things that are always coming out. One of them in particular is Jock, which is a pen name for Mark Simpson. He's this British artist. If you're familiar with him, he's done like a lot of Batman covers, horror comics, and a whole bunch of other like really artistic stuff, great stuff. Well, one of the art stuff that came out that he was promoting was Daniel Isn't Real. He did the art cover for this movie, and I was like, man, they got me interested, because he's worked on he's done some other movie titles as well. Like, he's done some Star Wars, he's also done Ex Machina, he's also done that, but it got me really kind of curious about it. So I had to go ahead and, you know, I needed to see why he was doing it for that movie in particular. So I read about it, and man, that thing got me hooked. Like, just reading about it, I thought it was neat. So here I go. I found out this movie came out, like you said, in 2019. This was a premiere at South by Southwest. That's when it first came out. South by Southwest is a
2019.
Yeah, in 2019. It was a, it's a South by Southwest. It's a film festival. Yeah. That they have in Austin. It's not even just film. They do music.
It's everything at that. It's South by Southwest.
Yeah. That thing is like so multimedia. It's like it's anything and everything. Anything popularity or anything new. Anyways, that movie premiered there. Funny enough, I've never heard of it. I caught it on a whim. I saw it. I was like a year late watching this. So I ended up watching it. It was fantastic. I can go ahead and get into it, and let's go ahead and just kind of, I'll kind of walk you guys through it, and just, you know, see where we're at on this movie, you know, by the end of it.
Yeah.
What this movie starts off, what Daniel Isn't Real is exactly what the title is like about. It's about a little boy who ends up, he's going through a lot of parental issues. He's And when I say little boy, I mean he looks at least like 8, 9 years old. He doesn't really understand the concept of the world. You know, so he sees his parents arguing. He can't stand it. He's off alone. He's alone. He's sad. He doesn't have any friends. He's just hears his parents arguing all the damn time. So what happens, he ends up walking. He's all like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to go out for a walk. So he ends up taking off, walking outside of out of the house, walking down the street, a couple of blocks down the street, right around the corner. there happens to be a murder. Now, to understand the excitement that pulls you into this movie, the first thing, right when you start watching this movie, you're watching a lady serving coffee, and you end up seeing, like, this restaurant. Everyone's eating, they're talking, you know, a regular restaurant kind of little coffee shop kind of scene and stuff. All of a sudden, there's a guy that breaks in into the darn... into the coffee shop with a shotgun and starts blasting away, shooting left to right. He's killing people. It's flat-out murder. Till finally, he ends up dying. He ends up getting gunned down, and he ends up dying. It's blood everywhere. Who comes around the corner? It's that little boy that I was talking about that he left the house. He ends up... The police are already there. They're already wrapping up, but the body is still there. The little boy sees that, and you can only imagine. It's already mentioned that little kids that end up seeing any type of violence could be a bit scarring on the brain. It could, on their psyche, it can mess them up a little bit. You know, they can have nightmares. They can grow up with disabilities or some kind of twitch or nervous reaction or something like that.
And bearing in mind, he's got a psycho mom with emotional issues to begin with and a dad that walks out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They mentioned that, right, that she's not taking her medicine or something. Like when you were talking about that they're fighting, that she's not, you know, they're just not getting along. I thought she said, like, oh, you got to take your pills or medicine. And that's when we meet Luke and his mom. And, you know, Chris kind of spoiled it for me because we had talked about watching it, you know. And I think Chris, like, he does what I do. Like, I'll watch 20, 30, 40 minutes of a movie, and then, like, I end up having to do something else, so I'll come back to it. So he's watching it, and he's all like, well, this movie's pretty interesting already. That guy just shows up with a shotgun, something like that. So I'm like, you fucking asshole. So I was like, so when I put it on, like, and I see the people, like, in the coffee shop, I'm already thinking, like, there's going to be a guy that shows up with a shotgun any minute.
Yeah, you're just on edge waiting for that shit. But the thing is, I said that because I figured you had probably already seen. I figured I was late to the dance on this one.
No, yeah. I mean, I understand. That's why I didn't throw a fit. Like, I was all like, well, I mean, 90% of the time I have watched the movies, you know. But typically, if Gabe's going to recommend it, I haven't watched it. You know what I mean? So that's what's cool about it is that, you know, if I'm making the schedule, it's like, well, I know this is good. I like this. Or, you know, maybe it's not good, like some of these Halloween films, but it's in the franchise. So I let him, if he recommends it, I'm like, okay, well, because it's something that I wouldn't pick. So it's like, it's not going to be in my schedule. So I might as well throw it in. So, but yeah, so that whole intro, like it was still shocking for me because, you know, like right away, it's kind of like, what is that? With Pulp Fiction kind of, you know, beginning. But you know, Chris could have, you know, took a little bit away from, but it was still shocking. And seeing, like you said, the kid see all that, I'm like, oh fuck. And then we meet Daniel too, right?
Right. So, right at that moment, right when the little boy ends up seeing, just to keep in mind, the little boy is named Luke. And he ends up seeing the dead body. So he's already like, oh man, he's like in shock. But who appears, like, right next to him, like, not even seconds later after watching this, it's another little boy. So you're like, oh, man, another kid just wandered in onto a death scene? What the hell? They're just letting kid walk in on this? What the hell? Well, then he's all like, hey, the other little boy, Daniel, ends up saying, hey, let's go ahead and play. Oh, okay, cool. So they end up taking off to a nearby playground, and they're playing and having a good time. So here comes the mom. Finally, she catches up with Luke, and she's all like, there you are. Don't you ever take off like that, blah, blah, blah. She is, like, hysterical. She's pissed off because she thought she lost her son. She don't know what the hell happened. She's all, don't ever do that again, this and this. And he's all, okay, let's go home. Well, can my friend Daniel come over too?
Yes.
But when she looks, she don't see nothing. So she's like, sure. Daniel, you can come on over and Daniel's like, oh, okay, sure.
Now, you're going to laugh. This is a blonde moment for me, but I saw that scene, and I did not connect because I didn't read about the movie beforehand. I wanted to get it firsthand, which is usually what I do, but every once in a while I'll read a little bit here and there if I'm curious. But this time I went straight in, And I didn't catch that she wasn't looking him in the eye. So I'm sitting here thinking this is a real third dimension human being. It doesn't click until fucking they show him playing swords by himself.
Right. So as it kind of progresses, I kind of feel like I have to go in a little into detail for this beginning, because the rest of the movie I don't have to, because everything is like set in stone already at the beginning of this movie. The reason why I say that is you're exactly right. Right after that, they go back to it. They go back to the house. The dad isn't there. Time passes on. You realize that the dad is gone, so it's just the mom and the little boy. But the little boy is playing games, and he's playing swords with these brooms, and he's doing things that he's playing all this stuff with Daniel. So then you start realizing, like, there's, like, little things that are happening. You start realizing, like, hey, you know, this kid isn't real, man. He's playing around with an imaginary friend. Oh, okay, yeah. So now you got the idea, it's imaginary. So then all of a sudden, here comes Daniel. He's all like, hey, you want to play something really fun? Or I got a cool game to play. He says something along those lines. So he's all like, yeah, sure, I'm down for it. Why not? He goes ahead and Daniel leads him to like this to this drawer full of medicine. It's his mom's medicine. So like you guys ended up saying, the mom has already... She already has her personal issues. She has, anxiety, depression. She probably has schizophrenia, which later on they end up revealing that she does, actually. She has, she has a mental illness. Anyway, so he takes the pills, and Daniel talks him into, hey, your mom made this smoothie. Why don't you throw all those pills into there? It'll be great. It'll be fun. What is that going to do? Oh, it's going to make her into a superhero. Oh, wow. And just like any little kid, they all get excited. They're like, yeah, I want my mom to be stronger. Sure. You know,
that part was fucked up, dude. I was like, no way he's going to do it.
A Crispix commercial and thinks they're actually going to flip when they bite into it.
Oh, man. So he threw them all in there, blended them all up. The mom drinks it. Later on, she starts having issues. She starts breathing heavy. She starts kind of freaking out. Anyways, and she's already like, what'd you do? What'd you do? And the son's like, I'm sorry. He's like already tearing up. He's all, Daniel made me do it. What? What'd you do? And she's like freaking out. Anyways, she survived. But after talking to the little boy, Daniel isn't real. And she's like, so the little boy is like, okay, tell you what, let's go ahead and nip this in the butt. How do you get rid of an imaginary friend? The same way as you pretend as if it was real.
Yeah.
So the mother has a dollhouse that was her mother's or grandmother's. And she gives the little boy a fake or a key to that little dollhouse and says, look, I want you to go ahead and put Daniel in there and lock him away forever. Instead of just, most parents would just say, Daniel isn't real, stop it, quit making up things.
She plays along with it. Yeah, see, I didn't even get, I don't even like really like, I mean, I saw it, but I was like, wow, that's a good idea to like, if you play along with him to like make him seem like, okay, I'm really doing this so he can't bother me. So it is a good little psychological kind of playing along to fit, what he perceives as reality.
Or was it just me, or did he look like Chucky when he was like, get in?
Yeah. He started selling for, get in! And right away, I was really invested when he was like, the mom was like, I thought she was going to die. And she's like, Dad, Luke, and, it was freaking me out. I was like, man, this movie's starting off because this kid already saw a murder, and he's going to kill his fucking mom. And all. I was like, what the fuck? So... And then you see him going crazy, get in. I was like, oh my god, this movie's gonna be a roller coaster.
That scene where he puts the painkillers or psychotropic meds or whatever they are, puts them in the smoothie. You know what that reminded me of?
Huh.
The Good Son.
Ooh, with Macaulay Culkin?
Yes.
Ah, oh, that's a good movie. I like that.
But that's the type of thing Macaulay Culkin's character did, fucked up shit like that.
He played the good child and then ends up secretly doing bad things. But the issue with that was more because of jealousy throughout that whole movie.
But here's where I also thought of that, because it's doing something to the mom, and you remember the other kid at the his mom dies at the beginning of the movie.
Shit, I haven't seen The Good Son in like fucking 20 years and shit.
I have that movie.
Night I saw The Good Son was the first time I ever, same night that was the first time I ever saw an episode of Tales from the Crypt, and I'll tell you, that was the most emotionally disturbed I've ever been in one weekend.
You know,
I don't believe that, but that's for another podcast.
I hate to go ahead and wander off on The Good Son, but honestly, the first time I ended up watching that was, I was surprised because I saw Home Alone and then I ended up watching that, and it was like that kind of blew my mind, because I was like, man, you were doing so good and you just wanted to be loved and now you're killing things. I'm like, oh, jeez. I was like, that was a twist for me.
Yeah, I had saw, like, again, I don't want to go off, but, you know, Chris has to bring up fucking movies all the time. I don't know what a better movie was. Yeah, I remember just watching, like, just flipping channels and seeing Macaulay Culkin, and I was like, oh, let me check it out. And then seeing, you know, I'm young when it first came out, and, like, I only knew him because of Home Alone, and then I see him all evil. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, I was like, it was legitimately shocking, and then you have Elijah Wood and shit in that one, so... He comes out.
Yeah, Elijah Wood was really young in there. He was also, I think, the same age as Macaulay Culkin in that movie.
But he hasn't aged, though.
Oh, of course not. He's one of those gifted actors or actresses that don't ever age, like Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Jesus. Oh, but anyways, so, yes, at this point, they do the whole, the mom plays along with the child and ends up, that tells the child, you need to lock up Daniel. Daniel doesn't want to get in. He just keeps yelling at him, just like y'all were saying, get in, get in. Finally, force Daniel into that house, and they lock the door. Now, this is where a time skip happens. All of a sudden, now Luke, the little boy, is now, he's like a young adult now. And now he's in college. At this point, though, he's already struggling with certain issues. He had to move back and take care of his mom now, because now his mom apparently her issues have gotten out of hand. They're getting way out there. It's getting really bad. So now by this point he went on his own to go ahead and find a psychologist. A therapist, and so he ends up talking to this to the doctor, which is Dr. Cornelius, and he ends up explaining to him, like, hey, I want to let you know I'm having certain issues, anxiety, I'm struggling with school, you know, I don't really have a social life. He just explains his normal everyday, like, his problems, but he's all, oh, I just don't want to end up like my mom. He's all, I'm scared for her. He's all, well, what do you fear? Well, I don't know. I have a fear of, I think he says, I have a fear of, like, sex or something. Or I'm not understanding something about sex. And he says, well, that's normal around young adults right now. What else is troubling? He starts listing things, and they're going back and forth. And they said, don't worry. A lot of this panic and a lot of this anxiety you're having is normal. You know, we'll just keep talking. We'll meet up when we can, you know, and you'll be fine. All this that you're feeling is normal. Okay, I just don't want to end up like my mom. It's cool. So it goes back to his mom, and on his way back to go meet up with his mom, because he has some sandwiches, he went to bring his mom dinner, you know, like the good son he is. He wants to go ahead and do that. Who does he end up? He ends up bumping into the love interest of this movie, and which is, I think her name is Cassie. Yeah. I call her the art girl in there. She was like my favorite because I'm all about art.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, she's all doing the same shit.
Yeah. So she's kind of a free spirit. She has kind of a mouth on her. She's outspoken. There's no holding back. You know, she bumps into him, drops his sandwiches. She falls down. They're all... she's all kind of frustrated because he wasn't watching where he was going. They kind of make a quick banter back and forth, whatever. And he's all like, oh, okay, well, I'm fine too. She's all, great, I'm glad you are, you know, being all smarty aleck like she is. So he ends up taking off back home. He brings the sandwiches, you know, takes care of the mom, all this stuff. So the mom's already kind of displaying kind of a mental disability. She's cutting up books. She has tons of books, and she's cutting up pages in there. Like, just has scissors or a razor blade in there. She's just cutting pages out because she thinks there's subliminal messages in these books.
She's breaking, like, the mirrors and shit, right? She's just going, like, if we didn't know she was crazy at the beginning of the movie, now we know for sure.
Oh, definitely. This movie, right here at this point, that was it. This is, like, the breaking point. I mean, this is years later, but at this point, this is it. I mean, it's clear as day. She has problems. Don't wanna be another Hollywood casualty. Feels like there's just no place for me. Frustrated and sick of all this pain. Sometimes it's hard not to go insane when your dreams are going down the drain. Here come, I feel like I can't breathe. Don't get enough of what I need. If you can see my heart bleed, then you see, then you see. If you can hear my at this point, we know that the mother is
got problems.
Has she has a problem. I mean, people with mental illness, I guess it's not appropriate for me to say that they're nuts or crazy. I mean, that's usually my easy go-to. That's how I usually refer to someone as they're not all there. But it's no fault of their own. It could be hereditary or whatever it is. I mean, there's that mental illness. And at this point, we know the mom has mental illness. So, anyways, later on that night, after you end up seeing her, you know, going crazy, cutting up books, she's not even eating. She just wants to cut up pages because she thinks there's hidden messages in there. The mom's supposed to be asleep. Anyways, the son ends up spending the night there, and he ends up in his old childhood home. He ends up waking up, and he ends up hearing something, but he ends up seeing a dollhouse. He remembers the dollhouse, and he starts playing around with it, and he ends up opening it up. And, you know, of course, you know, nothing really happens. So he's just like, okay, well, all of a sudden, there's noises, and he ends up hearing that his mom's up. And she's, like, screaming. She's, like, going nuts. There's that word, nuts. And she's flipping out. She's going crazy. She has scissors in her hand. And she's talking about nonsense. She's like freaking out, and she starts banging on the mirror. She breaks the mirror, and she's talking about killing herself. All of a sudden, Daniel's like trying to calm her down. He's like, Luke. He starts trying to calm her down, but then who's in the bathtub in the bathroom?
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Pat. Well, if I should mention, Daniel is Patrick Schwarzenegger, which Joey blew my mind with. I had no idea that was the son of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I didn't either. Yeah, yeah, that was new to me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
I knew going into this podcast, you know, we had talked about it a few days ago, but it's like just watching it the first time, I didn't know that it was Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, Arnold and then, like, the Kennedys and, of course, Patrick's, you know, half Kennedy, half Schwarzenegger. So, and, like, you know, I know about Arnold's sons just because you kind of expect some of them at least to, like, follow in the dad's footsteps or whatever. So I'm kind of aware of them. And I remember seeing Patrick and I was like, man, he's, like, super skinny compared to Joseph Bonet. But I just call him Joseph Schwarzenegger. But his other son's all in shape, and I mean, not that he's like not in shape, but he's like real thin, Patrick. And he has like it's weird because you have one son that looks exactly like Arnold, and you have Patrick who looks more like a Kennedy. And he has some Arnold features, but he's so like thin, like, you know, just his face, but everything else, you know. Anyway, so when they show him, I'm like, at first, I'm like, I know this guy, but I'm like, I'm not, you know, because I didn't oh, you know, you tell me the movie, let me go see who's in it. No, I put it on and that's it. So I look at him for like 2 seconds. I'm like, I've seen him before. And then, you know, like when you're familiar with somebody, but like I'm not super familiar with them, but I know who he is. And then I kind of like, it took me like 5 seconds and it registered. I'm like, is that Patrick Schwarzenegger? You know, but it was like, no, there's no way, because I didn't know he was an actor or anything. You know, I just know him as Arnold's son. So it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Then I looked. Read his mom is Maria Shriver.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was fucking hilarious. And like I said, I was like, Patrick Schwarzenegger. And you're like, what? Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's fucking Arnold's son. He's like, he's doing this shit now. So it was awesome. Yeah. And I'm not going to get into the rest of the movie, you know, yet, but this guy did an amazing job as an actor, dude, for Daniel. I thought that from the moment he stepped on the screen when he wasn't there, I missed him. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, like I said, I had no idea who he was when I was watching this.
Yeah.
I just started watching it, and I was just like, because like I said, I followed it from that comic artist, and I watched it on a whim, and then when I was watching it, I didn't know who that Daniel guy was, but man, you were not kidding. I mean, the acting on that, like, he was just, Daniel portrays a very cocky, very strong, you know, very cocky, very strong type of attitude who suddenly turns vicious at some point in the movie, which I'll explain at some point. And he was really good in here. And then when you told me, you're all, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, I was like, what the heck? I was like, no. So, so I had to go back and check that out. And yeah, that was legit. I was like, wow. I was like, I learned something today. Interesting fact.
Chris, movie aside, did you like Patrick Schwarzenegger's performance as a fucking maniac?
Yes, I thought he was the best acting of the whole movie. Everyone in the movie was good. Everyone in the movie was good. But as far as who is the best at playing the role they have to play, Patrick Schwarzenegger, to me, was the star of this film.
Yeah, he made me, like, it's hard to say, if he wasn't in the film, I wouldn't enjoy it. But as far as, you know, this, it's like he made me like the film a lot more. Just him being in there and him, like, even his voice, I'm like, he has a weird voice. Like, it's kind of like deep. You wouldn't expect his voice to sound like that, but he's got a very weird voice compared to everyone else. So,
is it just me, or when he's walking around, like when there's scenes where, like, it's nighttime?
I thought you were gonna go, is it just me, or does he have a great ass? I was like, whoa, pal. Whoa, pal. It's just you.
Not like me. Never me. No, but the thing is, when they're walking around, like when they're walking that rave club at night, or when they're walking like in the park, and you know, Luke and the mom, and he always wears those sunglasses and like a long coat. He looks like the typical guy you'd see in like a 1979 new wave music video.
Yeah, he's got pretty interesting taste. You know, like, you know, when you see pictures later, he's always wearing like suits kind of shit, right?
But it makes him stand out though. Like everything about him stands out. He's tall. He's good looking. He combs his hair
back.
He likes long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
And Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where were we, dude?
So, at this point, what really threw us all into a frenzy here was that we end up seeing that Daniel, Patrick Schwarzenegger, is in the bathtub. And he's watching his mom, he's watching Luke's mom go crazy and attempting to kill herself with the pair of scissors on her neck. So what happens with Luke, he sees him in the bathtub, and he's trying to focus on the mom, but it's kind of hard when there's someone just sitting in the tub watching this whole thing. So he's like, okay. He snapped to it real quick, and you can get that sense that he did, because he's worried about his mom. He's all, look, mom, put down the scissors, blah, blah, blah. So he ends up grabbing them, and they're wrestling with it. And she's like, I just want to die. Just let me die. You know, she wants to kill herself. So then, right there in the bathtub, calm as can be, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Daniel, ends up saying, put the scissors towards your throat. Mom, just let go of the scissors. Just let go of the scissors. Put the scissors towards your own throat. So then what happens? He's like, all right, well, shit. He's all, if you won't let go, then stab me. If you don't let go, you're going to stab me. He puts the scissors towards his own throat. Of course, the mom snaps because she loves her own son. She don't give a shit about her own life, but she loves her son. So what happens? She lets go. But he was very close. He was very close mm-hmm. to, like, almost dying. So that was a very intense moment because my first thought was, like, why in the world are you going to put the scissors towards your own throat? But I did not, you know, he's calm, and he's looking at it from an outside perspective, and he's like, oh, I know how to easily take care of this. I know their relationship, mother, son, you know, they love each other. So family, you know, fondness and all that. So he's all like, put it towards your own throat. She's not going to want to harm your own son, which could have gone wrong. But you find out throughout this movie, Daniel makes a lot of suggestions, which actually end up right. And it's like he knows everything that's going to happen. He understands the way people are. He knows exactly what to say in a conversation to make it happen. He does this throughout the movie. So technically, he's not wrong. So Luke later on starts trusting him. He starts trusting his word when he starts saying certain things. So he starts in the beginning of this relationship. When Daniel first appears, they end up starting to build that fondness, that bond again. They're starting to build that fondness that makes them want to be friends again.
Right.
So at this point, right the next day, you know, there's Luke. He's up there cleaning and he's talking to his imaginary friend. And as he's helping talking to the imaginary friend, and they're trying to play catch up. You know, what's been happening over the last so many years since he's been locked away, he's cleaning up. He gets a knock at the door. Like, well, who in the world could be knocking at the door at this moment? The mom, you know, I think she was taken away, wasn't she, at this point?
Yeah, I was confused on what happened to her. I think they said she went to the hospital.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, did she, like, hurt herself? I mean, and then I didn't realize, well, I guess
they
he
went,
yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to prevent her from hurting herself. So I think in that moment, that happened a little too quickly. So, I mean,
yeah, I had no clue on, like, when it happened, I was like, I guess she had cut her hand or something real bad with the scissors. And I actually thought when that was going on that Daniel was going to accidentally, like, kill her or something like that. And
yes.
Like he was going to go into some, like, this movie was going to take a dark turn. So when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So it's not going to go right away. I mean, it started off right away crazy, but that didn't go into that deep yet. So yeah, fucking Cassie shows up and has his fucking wallet. And of course, Daniel's giving him all the tips, right? How to score that tang.
That was like so great on that part when she shows up. And like you said, the reason why she made her way towards that house and how she found out where he was because of after that bump in from earlier in the day from the previous day, he ended up losing his wallet. So she wanted to do a good deed and drop off the wallet. But he's all like, no, let me give you a reward at least. And she's all, no, I'm just here to do a good deed. Yeah, and she
gave her a $100 bill. And
she did.
Think of you.
Oh, that, I mean, you talk about reward. I mean, man, he was not shy about, like, dropping $100. Usually if I think of, like, a reward, I'll be like, you know, depending on what it is, especially if I didn't really have shit in my damn wallet. Like, most of the time I don't. Nothing but moths in that damn wallet. But, yeah, I don't know. I probably would have gave her, like, probably $40 or something. I wouldn't even drop that at $100.
I know, dude. I was like, shit, kid, you know?
But I guess, like you said, like they ended up saying, he doesn't have a relationship. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't have anything going on. You know, so Corey,
Gabe is just shitting on him.
Yeah, you've got nothing. You're worthless. You fucking mental on this. You're bumping into chicks. Can't even get their number.
Speaking of that, like that, you know, Chris. You know, before we get into, you know, Chris shitting on it, like he was saying, like, well, there's not enough going on, and I was kind of like, well, this guy doesn't have anything going on. It's just like he's crazy, and then he's like. Not a loser, but, like, he kind of, like, doesn't have anything going on. That's kind of the reason why he has this imaginary friend is that he doesn't have this exciting life. He doesn't have anything to look forward to. He's not working towards anything. He's kind of just existing. You know what I mean? He's just there, and his mom's going crazy. He's kind of – he's got a weird personality. He doesn't have anything that's – you know, like, does he even have, like, a real hobby? No, all right? I mean, for the most part, like, he's got nothing interesting about him other than Daniel.
Yeah, the only thing he's really doing is like you said, he's just existing. He's going to college, and other than that, his whole focus was his mom. That was it. He had no social life. He has nothing but anxieties and issues and problems. The only exciting thing he really has going for him is seeing his psychiatrist, which I don't know. To me, I thought that I was just like, man, this is.
Reminds me of me when I was in college, to be honest with you. It's true, I'm not lying. Especially my freshman year, I felt like him. I was really lost. And the thing is.
You're still lost, Chris. It's okay.
But the thing is, like.
You're lucky you found Miss Rose over there getting your ass over and shit.
She's that's like, right. But the thing, that's very true. But the thing is, like, they don't do a good job, like. It's just he's uncomfortable and doesn't really do anything, whatever. But, I mean, look at the fucking guy. Like, come on. You tell me that dude's around chicks and he's not going to get chicks? Come on.
Chris is checking out another dude in the movie again.
But
it's
you're right. He does.
Not another teen movie. And, like, they're picking out the football star has to try to turn the prom queen. It's like, come on, man. It's like you pick the most obvious good-looking chick to like, do it, and then they throw in all these, like, Siamese twins and albinos. And
understand that as good looking as Luke is,
settle down, Chris.
His personality is what's
driving, over here.
Is what's keeping people away. And but apparently, for Cassie, who was trying to do this good deed to go ahead and deliver this wallet of his, she sees like a better side of him, and it must be I would have to say the artistic view. She's seen the artistic view. She sees a good side of him that maybe most people don't see. Because usually, if someone's going after another person, their first instinct is looks. Then, but sometimes that's not always the case. But then it's personalities. Sometimes if the person's not that great looking, but the personality is amazing, you know, that's great. Well, in this case, Luke is a good looking guy, but his personality is not all there. The reason why is because. You know, depression, mental illness, the whole nine yards. He's the Debbie Downer. He's the Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh. He's the that one sad guy that, you know, nobody wants to be around because they're like, oh, great. You know, he's just going to be sad again. You know, nobody wants that. So, anyways, this girl sees something, you know, more with him. She actually ends up telling him, hey, I'm going to be having this... like this little art venue, there's a little art venue going on. They're going to have like a whole bunch of artists. I'm going to be one of the people there. Here's a flyer. I hope you show up. Oh, there you go. That's already like a step in. She sees something that nobody else really sees. So he's like, he doesn't know what to say. So guess what? Daniel's right over his shoulder telling him all the right things. He's telling you or an artist too. I do photography. Oh, then yeah, you should definitely come. And Daniel's right there over his shoulder telling him all the right things to say, all the right things to do. And so there he goes. He already gets... So now he's starting to think, like, okay, maybe Daniel isn't so bad. I don't know why I locked him away. So, okay. So then there he is with Daniel, and you already start seeing a couple of other things that Daniel ends up trying to get him out of his shell. He's all like, look, we need to go and have fun. We need to do some things. You know, there's Luke in class, and he's struggling trying to take a test. He can't do it. He can't think of the answers. Well, there's Daniel. He gets up, and he starts smiling. And he's right there in front of the whole class. He's, like, right there in the on the blackboard, right there against the blackboard, and he's all smiling. And Luke is all like, what in the world? What are you doing? You know, like, what the hell? He's trying to signal him with his eyes. Like, what's... He starts unbuttoning his clothes. And you're thinking, like, why is this guy going to get naked for Luke? You know, the guy's trying to take a test. This is weird. Well, surprise, surprise. This guy ends up writing all the answers to that test all over his body. You know, kind of like in a way like you would cheat if you were writing all the answers on your arm so you can cheat on your math test or you can cheat on your whatever test.
Yeah.
His imaginary friend, Daniel, did the exact same thing. But he did it all over his body. So here... Luke is all having a grand old time. He's all.
It looks like he's all high, right? He's just like mouth open, just like looking, like staring into space and writing down the answers. I was like, oh my god, this is fucking funny.
He's laughing. He's having a good time, but then it shows it from a distance view. It shows him laughing and looking up and down while the whole class is all just looking down at their papers and the teacher's like looking around. And it shows Luke, he's just looking up and down at nothing. And he starts laughing, kind of like giggling or whatever. And I was like, poor guy, looks like he's going crazy. But whatever, it's working. He's getting the answers. He's going to pass his test. You know, thumbs up for him. We're all proud. So the story progresses. It ends up leading to Cassie. And in that night to where now all of a sudden he's going to go meet Cassie. She's having an argument with another fellow artist. So here's Daniel. He's all, go and defuse that fight. He's all, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just got to believe. You can do it. Just go. Just do it. So he goes and he almost gets whacked in the face.
Yeah.
But he defuses the fight. The girl takes off, and she tells him, hey, you showed up. Come on. Follow me. Okay, so they go back to her place. They're going to have sex? No. She's there to express her views and show, you know, talk about things of what's happening. And Daniel, being the shy, depressing guy that he is, he's getting that Daniel talk in his ear, saying all the right things, so he can befriend her, get closer to her. So, of course, they get closer, they have their own little moments talking about art, and they're playing around and doing stuff.
I love when she's showing off one of her pieces of, like, she does, like, not just paintings, but, like, setups, I guess, right? Like, where it's kind of, like, the whole, like almost like a room, right? Where it's like a cat something. What, y'all remember the name of it? It was like a cat.
Cat box.
Yeah.
Cat box, right? And it's
the
toilet with the plant in it.
Yeah, the toilet with the plant. I'm like, okay. Don't know what that has to do with anything, but okay.
That's art, man. That's you can put whatever you want together and call it art. And I think one of the more interesting parts was that while Luke was walking around trying to talk about stuff, he sees a painting. He sees a painting of a guy. And so he's all like, he's all, what's this painting? Who's this painting of? And Daniel whispers real quick, I bet you it's her dad. Sure enough, oh, that's my father. So it makes it seem like she has like daddy issues or something. He ended up passing away. That was like a little mural of him for, you know, the love that she had for him. And but it was weird though. The funny part was that knowing that Daniel got that right. And it, again, like I said, it progressed. He's progressing so much, and he's expressing so much that he's giving Luke all the right answers, and he's helping. He's helping Luke get closer to Cassian. Before you know it, it seems like they're gonna get together. Well, as time moves on and more arguments or more kind of schizophrenia things start happening, he ends up. Or what it appears to be, he ends up going ahead and going to this party where he ends up meeting. He ends up meeting up with this girl. He ends up talking all the right things thanks to Daniel. He gets so drunk, he ends up going. He has to go to the bathroom, and he ends up passing out in the bathroom. Who's in there is Daniel. Here's the interesting. Part. Now you're starting to get the idea that, you know, maybe he's not imaginary, because at this point, Luke is passed out on the right against the wall on the bathroom floor at this party, and Daniel is there like imitating his mom, like, "Oh, I'm gonna kill myself, I'm gonna kill myself," just mocking him, and so ends up grabbing his hand to go ahead and grab these scissors and putting it to his own throat. But all of a sudden, Luke ended up twitching, and he ends up dropping, like, the scissors or whatever. And so all of a sudden, you know, Daniel makes, like, this kind of maniacal, horrible-looking face where he's just like, "Oh, I could have killed you already." He made a nick on his neck where, like, a little slight cut where he just, a tad blood was coming out. But still, you know, like, okay, this guy's passed out. How is the imaginary friend still there? Is it, like, his subconscious? Is there something more to it? It really gets you, it pulls you in at that point. Because now you're starting to get the idea that this might not be an imaginary friend, but you're still guessing it because there's not enough evidence to prove otherwise. So, anyways, there goes the story that it's already proceeding and starting to go farther. And by this time, now, you start seeing,
it's kind of a weird, it's kind of like a weird turn at this point, because it kind of goes to, I mean, I guess it's where Daniel takes over, like, where he shows, like, the evil side, because he's kind of hanging out, like, for whatever reason, they're just kind of thrown in there, like, the roommate, I was like, "Oh, he has a roommate," because I remember seeing him, like, him and Daniel, like, they freak him out real quick, but then, like, that girl he meets at that party before he passes out, Sophie, who's hot as hell, they start hanging out all of a sudden after he meets her. And it kind of just seems I don't know. It seems kind of awkward him hanging out with her when he's used to, like, I guess you feel the chemistry with him hanging out with Cassie. It feels, like, out of place, right. And he feels out of place, too.
It's like, yeah, why are they chick jumping?
Yeah, and then they kind of go through that whole little – they're hanging out in the sewers, and then, you know – It takes a weird ass turn, but it brings it back, you know, towards once I guess he stops talking to her. But I don't know if you wanted to talk about any of that crazy shit thing where they were, like, wandering. I don't know, was it a sewer or just weird looking shit?
Yeah, it was like a tunnel.
Baltimore.
Yeah, it's just more of a sewer tunnel. Pretty much when they go back. Like you said, at this point, it just starts going dark, because now all of a sudden Daniel is going to start taking a big twist on this. Pretty much they end up back in the dorm room, and they're starting to do drugs. Luke ends up walking in on this, and there's the girl, you know, the girl that he ended up talking to at that party, along with a friend, along with his roommate. You know, all of a sudden he's all like, "How the hell did all these people get here?" And Daniel's like, "Well, you know, these are your new friends now, and they're doing drugs." They make a suggestion like, "Hey, why don't we go out and have some fun? I know some place, and it's some random tunnels in the sewer." This is where all of a sudden, they, as a tidbit, they end up getting into a kind of a scuffle in there because Daniel is trying to encourage him, like, hey, why don't you go have sex with that girl? And he's like, no, I don't want to do that because I like Cassie. Yeah, but you're not married to her.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. If you're not, I'm going to.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? Now, this is where it gets disgusting. Because all of a sudden, Daniel's going to take over Daniel's body. And you think, like, oh, he's just going to jump into his body. Like, no. Their faces are starting to intertwine. If you ever seen the movie The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, you know how, like, the damn monster is, like, trying to meld with the human body, trying to merge into one? Okay, that's what happens with this. It's disgusting. It's, like, flat out, their faces are pulling each other, the skin is on there, it's going back and forth. You know, I can only imagine the girl is looking at him and, like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, you know, that's just weird. But either way, so Daniel takes over. He goes at it and starts, you know, banging the girl. He's having his way with her. You know, I'll say. Yeah.
You know what I interpreted that scene as? I interpreted that scene as Daniel taking over and experiencing the human condition, human emotions, human hormones and whatnot, feelings in Luke's body and pushing Luke's soul, his spirit, his consciousness out of that body. So he has to just stand there as a spiritual being watching this.
That is a very good observation because Luke does end up sitting idly by watching Daniel with his own, with Luke's body just having at it with that girl. And so, yes, I mean, that is a very, like, you know, now I'm starting to seem more than just an imaginary type of thing.
Yeah, what I was telling you, like, I was like, I kind of like, you could almost, at least me, when I was watching, it was like, it almost feel like you know how, like, these Conjuring movies where they're, like, being taken over by a spirit? Like, it kind of felt like that to where he was taking over his body, and then, yeah, he's able to see, you know, because someone else has control of his body, like kind of like a demon kind of deal where he's not in control anymore. Somebody else is controlling his body. And, like, yeah, you know, enjoying, I guess, all the human lust that the demon is not able to feel because he doesn't have a body. Now he's able to do it. And of course, he just wants to do bad things with it, too. You know, it's not just, you know, fucking, I want to have a body for body's sake. No, I want to have a body to kill people and have sex, dude. So,
that's right. Like Conjuring 2 with Parker Crane taking over Patrick Wilson's body.
That's the one.
So, well, by this point, he gets done with the girl, and then here comes his roommate. His roommate comes in, and he's like, oh, man, like, what are we doing, guys? Daniel, for some reason, does not like the roommate. So Daniel, with Luke's body, ends up beating the hell out of his roommate. So much so that the girls start screaming. They're all freaking out. Before you know it, it flash forwards into Luke being in an office for the school. And now they're talking about he's banned from being on campus. They're trying to get him expelled. So right now, I think in a way, he's like suspended. But Luke, at this point, he's already like, you know what? That's it. That's the last straw. I can't deal with you, Daniel. This is it. This is where I draw the line. I got rid of you before. I could do it again. You know, you're just an imaginary guy. Oh, yeah? Is that what you're going to do? Why don't you go ahead and do it? Go ahead and do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to close my eyes. By the count of three, you're going to be gone. Just like that. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Ah, I'm still here. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I laughed at that part, dude. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're like in a hospital or some shit.
Shut
this point, you realize that Daniel can't be they can't get rid of him so easily. He ends up meeting up with his doctor. The doctor prescribes medicine. The medicine does not work. The medicine does not work at all. So now, all of a sudden, the doctor tries hypnosis. The hypnosis, all it does is bring out Daniel physically, and ends up that demon ends up jumping into Luke's body, killing the doctor. Next, he's going after Cassie. The whole time, Luke is like trapped in this whole tunnel thing. And he's trapped into this like kind of an imaginary like castle. Anyways, you end up finding out later on that it's like a kind of a weird dimension. So he ends up finding out that he needs to break out of this dimension, this kind of horrific type of castle. So they end up
kicking. It's kind of Insidious, like, right, where he like goes into that other, like you said, dimension. Like he gets trapped once.
Right, the other
right beyond where they run into the older blonde woman.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's called the other, right? That's what they call it in there.
The further.
And
the further. That's it.
Oh, the further. Man, I was so close. So
yeah,
close.
The other world. Yeah, the further.
The other world.
Well, if we write our own movie, it'll be the other.
Yeah, we're gonna call it the other. And so at this point, he finds a way to break out, and he finds his way back, and Daniel's like. He finds Daniel in the midst of trying to kill Cassie. So at this point, they're going back and forth. And then he realizes, like, hey, well, I know how to truly get rid of you. Oh, yeah? How are you going to do that? I'm going to have to kill myself. Oh, yeah? You won't do it. You're not down. So they end up in a fight. They go back and forth. Before you know it, they end up... While they're fighting, they're on a roof of a building, of Cassie's building, her apartment, and they end up flying off, splat, right there, blood all over the pavement. They fell off right off the roof. Luke is dead. That's it. Cassie, you know, makes her way down. She sees him. She's traumatized by this whole thing. She's saddened that she thinks it's schizophrenia, or she thinks that there might be something more to it. So at this point, either way, she's sad, she's upset. That's the end of it, right? You think that's it, he's done, you know, no more Daniel. Well, guess what happens? Then you end up finding out that back in that imaginary land, that
the further
you end up seeing Daniel. He starts transforming. You see his face, and it is crooked. It is ugly looking. He looks like some kind of demon / zombie type of thing. He's weird. Well, he ends up escaping that castle the same way that Luke ended up escaping. Well, where does he have to go? You can only assume that he's going after his next victim. And by that point, you can only assume that this is the trend of the movie now. Now he's just... It was just a demon preying on a young... He preys on young children until they end up dying. And then he'll just jump to his next victim.
That's exactly when I was saying the whole demon thing, and then the way you're explaining it, too. It makes me believe in it more that, you know, like, you know, let's just, you know, for the movie's sake, say, well, demons, it's easier for them to influence people with, you know, with issues or disorders, you know, because they're... You know, their mind works differently, obviously, and you know we had to kind of rush through it, but you know, like right before all that shit's happening, like for whatever reason, Daniel wants to or Luke wants to look into the guy that killed himself in the beginning of the movie. He goes to like the dad's house, and hey, you know, he starts asking him questions, and he sees drawings of. You know, the guy would do these drawings of, you know, him and Daniel on a castle. And I thought that was, like, really cool. I love when something like that, that's kind of like the Omen style, where they go visit the graveyard and they see that, oh, in the tomb, it's a jackal and shit. Like, it's like the same thing where you're like, oh, shit, this guy that went crazy and killed everyone, he saw the same person. He even had a name, and it's Daniel, too. And when Cassie... draws Luke in the beginning of the film, she draws like that castle too, and you know, and then she like she doesn't believe Daniel at first when he's flipping out, and then she sees like the drawings that he found of that other guy, and she sees like, oh, and you know, it's just kind of like all put together, and I love that. I thought that was like some of the best parts of the movie, that like the beginning and the end. The middle kind of got kind of crazy, but the beginning and end was just, I mean, amazing.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. The damn beginning pulled me in because you're seeing the tragedy and the depression and all the hysterical parts of like mental illness. All with not just the mother, but with like the son as well. You get to see everything just kind of fold in, like set up all the path for the whole movie right there in the beginning, and then right at the end, it's like such a big twist because, like you said, it. Society and just the way the world works is so it's easier for them to believe that it would be a mental illness or a disability than to believe something supernatural, mm-hmm. you know, trying to hurt or attack someone. And honestly, that is a damn well smart way for any demon to get a hold of anybody. So you can go ahead and say demons all you want, but I kid you not, America's going to give you pills until you feel better. Yeah. That's just the way the world is right now.
What do you mean gonna get pilled? We got the fucking for the past 20 years this opioid epidemic, man.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like honestly, like I think at one point in the beginning of history, they believed all in the shamans and rituals and stuff like that. These holistic type of spiritual ways of healing. And though a lot of countries and natives, still believe in that, I mean, it's more easily dominant to believe that, you know, it's a mental illness. We'll give them Tylenol. Give them some kind of whack-ass drug to go ahead and, that'll cure them. If it doesn't cure them, they'll go ahead and make them docile at least, so that way they don't act all, you know, fruitcakes. And it's terrible. But, I mean, you have to look at it from all, you know, sorts of point of views. And, honestly, this movie kind of, I felt like had a lot of meaning, a lot of understanding that, you know, this kind of stuff that goes on. It's ridiculous, but it's the damn truth in a lot of ways.
So, Chris, dude, I want you to give your overall thoughts on Daniel Isn't Real, kind of your experience. And maybe you'll treat us and give us some Karate Kid comparisons.
Okay. So, what I like about the movie is the origin concept, the concept of a horror movie or a kind of psychological fuck up thriller about a kid and his imaginary friend, and then getting to be a more adult age and still having this presence around. But this presence is an actual spirit, and not just some, you know, for fun thing he wills into his own mind into existence, you know, the way most 4-year-olds do. You know, that's different. I like the concept. That's a good concept. The concept's been long overdue, and maybe it has already happened in a movie, but it was a, you know, B-minus movie at best, never got popular. I don't know. Y'all would know. I don't. But so the concept's great. The acting's good. The cast was good. The setting was good. It's just the thing is, it had a dark feel, like a horror movie or a movie like this or a psychological thriller or whatever is supposed to have. That's all there. The problem I had is I thought the story was shallow. I thought, as good as every other element of the movie is, it's a pretty shallow story. I mean, it's just about this kid who's like, why in the world is this guy depressed and sad and alone and all this stuff, and he needs this fucking probably satanic being to help him get laid or whatever? I mean, come on. I mean, look at the guy. But
it sounds like you're jealous of Luke, dude. That's what it sounds like. That's why, well, you don't like the movie. You're like, this guy can fuck any bitch he wants, and he's killing him, man. What the fuck's wrong with him?
And maybe it's a dummy or a decoy lockbox. But the thing is, like, when I think of movies, like really good movies that I like, and they can be any genre, it can be fucking Lakeview Terrace. It can be Karate Kid 3. It can be fucking...
Who the fuck says Lakeview Terrace is a great movie? I mean, it's cool. But I'm not like, you haven't seen Lakeview Terrace and The Karate Kid 3? You haven't seen that?
It could be a number of things, but there's always, like, there's the conflict between two people that's brewing slowly or growing over time, and then at the same time, while that conflict between two people is going on, there's also this looming event overarching in the background. And I felt like this was just, okay, let's follow this kid, this socially awkward kid, this uncomfortable, unconfident kid, who needs Daniel to help him talk to people and talk to girls and meet people, whatever. And then it blows up. But just within the context of these social day-to-day interactions of people, and there's not some larger overarching theme or event or, you know, foreshadowing going on, like there is with all these other movies we grew up watching. That's the criticism I have. The movie's fun. It's a fun movie. It's only 90 minutes. The acting's good. It's a good concept, but I just thought it could have been a better and more profound story.
And your rating, Chris?
My rating?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it 7.5 out of 10 shots.
It's no Halloween H2O, right? 7.5 shots. Exactly. I like that. I like that. We're gonna start doing it as shots, dude. 7.5 shots. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, like I had said earlier, dude, like, what makes this movie so good is that this guy is a loser. Like, when Gabe was shitting on him, like, that's what makes the movie believable. Like, you know, if Luke's, you know, the popular guy, or he's studying for some test, whatever bullshit you want, like, going on in the background, it would take away from the movie. Like... We just kind of set that when he starts interacting with these new people more than it's like when he's interacting with more than one people, it's kind of like uncomfortable. It's like he's hanging out with this new chick and that chick's hanging out with her friend and her friend's hanging out with the guy. It just seems out of place. I don't like it. But when he's just there with Cassie, I like it. And then Daniel's just there in the corner, kind of like you said, giving him pointers because he's got these problems. And then it goes, like, all the scenes where it's just Daniel, Luke, and some other person are, like, the best scenes, you know, because it really feels amplified, intensified. That scene where he's there with the psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever one, it's so good, you know, to, like, it plays, you know, mind games with you, too, because... I'm thinking, like, did the doctor actually see Daniel, or did he see Luke when this shit happened? Because I thought that the demon came out and said, yeah, I'm real, motherfucker, you know? And that's kind of how I took the movie. Like, I understand he's got a disorder, but, like, he hypnotized himself, he got lost in the madness, too, just like Luke, you know? And I love that. I love that some guy was like, you know, I don't believe in modern medicine. He starts, you know, like, it's going to do so much, and he does that whole, you know, he's over there hitting the little gong gimmick thing, and just from the beginning of the movie to where Daniel's going to cut his neck, all that before is great, and then when Daniel starts looking into the guy that killed himself at the beginning of the film, and that guy's dad kind of like recognizes like the madness that the guy's kind of, you know, that Luke's talking about on to the end. Like, that's so perfect, dude. Like, I don't think they could have made a better film with that 70-80% of the film. That, like I said, that middle part, it kind of feels like it's like 10 to 20 minutes-ish, 15 minutes-ish of where I'm kind of like, I want to get back to where it's just them together and then whoever else, not these other people that I didn't care about. But I really enjoyed the movie. I had a ton of fun. It's one of those films to where it's kind of, if you see another movie called, you know, like you're saying, like, oh, it doesn't tell like this or that, whatever. Like, I understand what you're saying. But, like, if you've seen this movie called As Above, So Below, it's kind of like a found footage thing. And for what it is, it's, like, really cool and amazing. And if you're willing to take that journey, it's awesome. If you're not into that, you know, for what it's going to provide you, then, yeah, I understand. This one, for what it was, and not even just saying that, you know, I'm not going to like say, oh, well, for what it was, like, no, like, if you're willing to say, like, hey, man, this is a depressing movie, you're probably not going to come out of there like, oh, that was fun, you know, like if you watch a Freddy, you know, movie or whatever. But if you just like to get engulfed in a crazy story and a crazy mindset with some crazy acting, Patrick Schwarzenegger, awesome. And the guy that plays Miles Robbins, who plays Luke, me and him have the same birthday, by the way. So I was like, oh, dude. So right away, he's awesome. And he looks like
– Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon?
Is he?
Yes.
Holy shit. Well, there you go. There you go. Tim Robbins from Shawshank Redemption, dude. And then mm-hmm. Susan Sarandon. That's Chris Sarandon's ex-wife, I think. Chris Sarandon's from a shit ton of movies. Do Fright Night.
Child's Play 1.
Yeah, Child's Play 1, all that. So, yeah, that's a – no wonder, dude. No wonder. I was like, you know, of course he'd be born May 4th. All the great ones are, you know. Come on now. He's got birth date, and he's born the year my brother Daniel's born. How crazy is that? It's like, that's some crazy shit.
Yeah, you're right. 92. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give Daniel Isn't Real a solid-ass 9 out of 10, dude. Love the movie. I reserve my 10 out of 10s for the – for the fucking Suspiria's 2018s of the world. But yeah, 9 out of 10 for me. Gabe.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and end, all right. Yeah, end us out, man.
All right. So, Daniel Isn't Real is definitely a good movie. Like I said, I caught it on a whim. It's one of those things like you get lucky and you find like a really good movie like that when you're kind of flipping through stuff, and that it was a good movie for me. Now there was a lot of things. There's a lot of good things about this movie. There were some things that were like, it's so-so. I think I felt I enjoyed more was Luke. I love that whole acting, like how he was portraying depression. He was sad. He looked like, man, you just feel so sorry for him, like, when you're watching this movie. And then it's even worse. I was thinking of it, and I was like, man, Daniel's, like, harassing them throughout this damn movie. I was like, you imagine if you had someone over your shoulder that was completely so annoying, and then they're, like, right there over your shoulder, they're constantly, and you can't get away from it. You don't know how to get away from it. Do you know how bad that would be? It would make you want to kill yourself. You imagine, like, you had Gilbert Godfrey, you know, sitting over your shoulder, you know, constantly yelling.
What the hell's going on here?
You're right, exactly, you know, like, so it's just, I don't know, I that's the only thing I could really take away was that I felt horrible for him because of the situation with his mom, mental illness, you know, it's a real thing out there in the world today. So I can only imagine this is terrible. But the good horror and the sci-fi part of it, you know, it's definitely gross. It had its bloody moments. It had the whole monster looking thing. So you want some cool looking thing, zombie looking stuff in there. I mean, that's definitely in there. It's a good movie. It's definitely not my 10 out of 10. But it's definitely, like, not the worst. I'm like, right there. Like, I'm right there with Chris at 7.5 to, like, to Joey's like 9, 9.5, 2. I'm like right there in the middle because I want to say like, yeah, this is the most amazing film. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't see myself watching depression all the time because I don't feel like being sad all the damn time.
Yeah, exactly. Because
that's when I watch it, that's what I'm getting from this. I'm feeling what this character is feeling.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, so I'm right there dead in the middle. I have to say it's an 8. Definitely strong 8. It's something I do like. I appreciate all the art in it. I like the monster. I like the whole psychological thing. And like I said, the emotion. Any movie that can make you feel anything, whether if you hate it or you love it or anything, if you give any type of feeling toward any type of movie, the movie's definitely doing something right. You're all, oh, we did this so much to where now you hate it, but we made you feel something for it. And I'm like, oh, that's true. So honestly, I feel like I'm right there on a strong 8. I think it's good. I love the main actor, Luke, Miles Robbins, that's his name. That's the actor's name. And I thought he was honestly, he was a great centerpiece for this movie. Next would be Cassie, who was Sasha Lane. She was the art girl. I called her art girl throughout this movie. And she was great, too. You know, I love her whole acting style, and I love the character she portrayed as, you know, being artsy, because, well, that's, you know, who I am. So, fantastic. Loved it. Solid 8, man. That's what I'm giving it.
8 shots. You
sound like you want to give it an 8.25.
8.25 shots of tequila?
If it was in the, what is it, the Superdome? What is it, Chris?
Okay. Of course, it would have been 6.25 had they been in the Kurikan Hall in Japan.
It's a wrestling thing whenever he has. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, I mean, everything you said, I mean, I agree with both of y'all. I mean, it was, that's why, I can't give it, I gave it a 9 because I enjoyed the fuck out of the film. Am I going to watch it, as much as I'll watch other shit? No, because, yeah, it is depressing. There's, that middle section I didn't care for. But I loved everything else about it. They give you a little bit of everything when he wakes up after killing the doctor. And he, goes to the mirror and he sees, the spirit, you know, version of Daniel, as that broken down king with the half crown or whatever. I thought that was, super, surprising. Loved it. Fucking freaked me out. Wanted to – wish there was more of that. So, yeah, of course, you know, you always want more of the good shit. But, yeah, dudes, we're actually going to be doing a little bit something different next week. We are going to be reviewing a James Bond film, Casino Royale with Daniel Craig, just because I liked the idea of doing it, just because I think if y'all guys don't like this stuff, y'all probably won't like the Sean Connery, Roger Moore, all the other, you know, James Bond stuff. Because, of course, it's from the 60s, 70s, 80s. So, I mean, I don't think if you like some of the more crazy horror, you're not going to like, you know, like the black and white stuff, like if we're going to the, you know, Dracula kind of deal. Same thing kind of with James Bond. Probably not to that extreme, but, you know, similar. But the whole reason because of that is because No Time to Die is coming out right before Halloween Kills. So I want to get us all prepped for, really good movies like that. So, like I said before, we'll be doing a little bit of mix-ins of other stuff besides horror, but still primarily horror. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong. Peace.
See you later, alligator.
Cheers.
I'm on to you, Trebek.